Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Limited 2020 annual results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and welcome to the Scales full-year results announcement for the year ended 31 December 2020. With me today is our CFO, Steve Kennelly. Earlier this morning, we lodged our results with the NZX, which included a presentation pack that we'll base our comments on during this call. Steve and I will run through the slides, then we'll take questions. If you've got any further questions after the call, we'll be available for the rest of the day. The agenda for today's slide pack is on slide two. We'll touch on the year's highlights, sustainability, the financials for both the group and the divisions, aspects of capital management, governance, and finally, the outlook for the current year. Turning to slide four and a summary of the year. Scales reported a pleasing result for the year with underlying EBITDA of 53.9 million, 2% ahead of last year. Our underlying NPAT of 33.8 million was 7% down on last year, but was towards the upper end of previously issued guidance. The horticulture division once again delivered record volumes with 3.9 million TCEs, a 2% increase on 2019. Horticulture EBITDA was 31.4 million, down on last year due to the effects of lockdowns. However, the division's diversified channels and markets mitigated some of those impacts. Mr. Apple also completed the current phase of orchard redevelopment with 36 hectares planted during the 2020 winter. The food ingredients division took advantage of a strong pet food market, generating an outstanding underlying EBITDA of 23.1 million, up 71% on 2019. It also benefited from diversification of both its geographical supply network and sources of protein. The next slide highlights a selection of operational and financial numbers for the group. These include the export of 5.7 million cartons of apples by the horticulture division during 2020, Scales Logistics managing over 35,000 TEU equivalents, and the food ingredients division selling almost 116,000 metric tons of pet food ingredients. On the financial side, we recorded revenue of 471 million, generated a ROCE of 15% in line with our long-term target, and we continue to have a strong balance sheet with 98 million in net cash available for investment. Turning over to slide six. While 2020 represented a number of challenges, we're very proud of what our team of nearly 3,000 achieved. Through teamwork, commitment, and unity, Scales broke records and performed strongly. I'd like to touch on a number of those achievements. We were in the very privileged position of being deemed an essential business and able to continue operating during the 2020 lockdown, which took place during the critical apple harvest period. The bravery of our staff who continued to turn up to work through the lockdown period was admirable. The management team and board are extremely proud of the entire Scales team for their courage during this period. Their safety was, and always is, our absolute priority, and the business adopted a number of measures to ensure everyone felt safe during those uncertain times. We are pleased to confirm that all staff were paid in full and that none of the Scales businesses took advantage of the New Zealand government subsidies. Scales continued to declare and pay dividends throughout 2020, consistent with our previous communications. Scales continued to provide earnings guidance, which we are very proud to confirm was met.
If I can just interrupt Andy there, I'd like to touch on one final point that he's failed to mention. The Scales Group was also very proud to learn that Andy had won the Leadership Award at the InFins Awards dinner last year. This award provides external recognition of the leadership skills and vision that Andy brings to the group, and it verifies our own internal perception of his remarkable abilities. Sorry, Andy, back to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes, cheers. Moving on to sustainability. Once again, it's been a busy year for our sustainability team. In addition to ensuring that our businesses continue to operate in the safest way possible, we partnered with environmental consultants Think Step ANZ to update our material areas of focus. Scales is currently in the process of drafting its inaugural climate change report. From an environmental point of view, a wide range of projects, audits and certifications were carried out as noted on the slide. Further detail on these will obviously be provided in the sustainability section of our annual report. Slide 9 summarises the selection of the health and safety initiatives that have been expanded or developed this year. As in previous years, health and safety is the top priority of the board and of the group in general and will continue to be so. As a result, we're pleased to report a decrease in the number and the severity of incidents this year. Touching on a couple of other initiatives, we were delighted to support communities both in New Zealand and China by providing apples to those in need. In New Zealand alone, we estimate that we provided around 500,000 apples to food parcel organisations. We undertook a pay equality review during the year, with results indicating negligible differences in pay between genders. I'll now pass over to Steve to comment on the group financial performance.
Thanks, Eddie. The table on slide 11 summarises our underlying reported results for the group. Revenue was down 3% on last year, primarily due to a decrease in horticulture revenue, and Andy will provide further detail on this later. Underlying EBITDA increased slightly compared to 2019 due to an excellent performance by the Food Ingredients Division. Underlying NPAT was down 7% on 2019 to $33.8 million, but pleasingly above the midpoint of our previously advised guidance range of $30 to $36 million. Reported profit for the year was also down, although this was mainly due to gains on the sale of Polarcold and the 50% sale of Meateor New Zealand being included in 2019. Together, these two transactions provided one-off gains in 2019 of $88.5 million. Also recorded this year was a $4.3 million impairment of fixed assets, primarily relating to lower valuations for certain orchard assets, such as trees and RSE accommodation. However, we note that in aggregate, the valuation of all orchards increased. Turning to slide 12 and our group five-year performance graphs of underlying EBITDA and NPAT. As noted last year, the historic results haven't been adjusted for businesses that we have divested or acquired, so they also show changes in group structure, particularly from 2019 onwards. Slide 13 provides a summary of our divisional performance, comparing the first and second halves of 2020 to the comparable periods in 2019. As noted in our interim presentation, this highlights the seasonality experienced by the horticulture and logistics divisions in particular. And a couple of points to note here. As Andy commented earlier, whilst the horticulture division generated record export volumes, it was affected by lockdowns. As a result, whilst there were strong sales into Europe, sales patterns into Asia and near markets were adversely affected. As a result, the division's results were lower than last year. Food ingredients benefited from continued strong pet food demand, resulting in a significant increase in earnings compared to 2019, and logistics continued to trade in line with prior periods. Moving on to the next slide, the charts here show the five-year underlying EBITDA trends for our three divisions. This highlights the change in mix of earnings amongst the divisions compared to last year. Andy will go into this in further detail in the next section. Slides 15 and 16 summarise our financial position, which shows a relatively steady situation compared to 2019. The primary changes are an increase in fixed assets due to capex on the new Mr. Apple cool store, on orchard redevelopment, amongst other projects. The sale of the Havelock North packhouse included in assets held for sale as at 31 December, and an increase in other assets, which is due to the revaluation of FX derivatives in line with NZ IFRS requirements. Slide 19 continues to show a strong net cash position at 31 December of almost $98 million, providing us with the ongoing ability to invest in appropriate growth opportunities as and when they arrive. I'll now hand back to Andy to update you on divisional performance.
Thanks, Steve. Slide 18 summarises the financial results of the Horticulture Division. The impact of lockdowns on the sale of produce into the Asia and Middle East affected pricing for those geographies, resulting in a 7% decrease in revenue to $246 million. Pricing, together with an increase in labour costs, impacted horticulture's earnings, with an underlying EBITDA and EBIT down by 21 and 29% respectively. I'll touch on our margin improvement strategies for this division in a later slide. The division continued to exceed expectations around volumes with a 2% increase in TCEs compared to prior year and a 3% increase compared to forecast. A superb effort by the Mr. Apple Orchard team. Premium varieties continue to be a focus for the division. The volume charts on slide 19 continue to track the long-run volume growth from 2011 onwards. Premium volumes increased 4% compared to 2019 and now account for around 57% of all exports. There were similar or increased volumes across most premium varieties, with significant percentage increases in our new varieties, including Dazzle and Posey. Slide 20 summarises horticulture's main KPIs. As I mentioned earlier, we encountered some tightening of pricing of our premium varieties into the Asian markets due to the impact and timing of lockdowns. For example, the China lockdown coincided with the Chinese New Year, which is typically a good period for apple sales. The decrease in pricing for premium varieties was partially offset by a firming up of prices in European markets. We benefited from favourable FX movements against the US dollar and continue to have cover in place for 2021. Notwithstanding this, recent strength in New Zealand dollar will likely lead to adverse FX shifts during 2021. Our overall export of volumes dropped slightly by 4%. However, Fernridge replaced a portion of its apple volumes with kiwi fruit sales, which have not been included in the reported volumes. In our interim presentation, we commented on a number of initiatives that we had identified in order to maintain or improve margins. This continues to be a focus, and slide 21 summarises projects of note. The completion of Mr. Apple's new cool store at Wakatu is expected to provide both operational and logistics efficiencies, and as Steve mentioned, has allowed us to sell our Havelock North packhouse. This permits greater centralisation of our post-harvest operations. Mr. Apple completed the second phase of its orchard redevelopment during 2020 with around 36 hectares planted or redeveloped. Our focus over this phase of planting was in high-value varieties such as Dazzle, together with incorporating two-dimensional planting techniques. Accordingly, we anticipate higher prices and yields as these orchards reach commercial scale. As shown on the chart at the bottom of the page, significant commercial volumes from recent plantings are expected in 2023 onwards. We acknowledge that the environment for the availability and cost of labour has changed. As a result, we expect to accelerate automation initiatives, particularly in the post-harvest area. We expect to commit to certain automation initiatives during the current year. Having said that, the RSE scheme at pre-COVID levels is and will remain critical to our ability to pick and pack our harvest. Turning to slide 22, it's important that the Horticulture Division continues to identify innovative strategies for market penetration, particularly in the Asia and Middle East markets. These markets continue to comprise a significant portion of our sales at 62% of exports. China itself accounted for around 17% of export volumes in 2020, in line with 2019. In order to support this activity, we're delighted to note we've recruited a new senior marketing manager. We continue our efforts to develop and grow our retail and e-commerce sales channels. These channels now account for over half of all sales. To support these channels, we're excited to roll out a number of new marketing initiative innovations and activations in 2021. One of these is a flagship store on Tmall, a business-to-consumer online retail platform operated by the Alibaba Group, which allows international businesses to sell and market branded goods direct to consumers in China. We also expect to continue our marketing of Dazzle, which was launched through high-end Chinese retailers in 2020, with targeted promotions in both Vietnam and China. Moving on to food ingredients on slide 23 and its exceptional results for the year, 2020 saw significant increases in both revenue and profitability for this division, reflecting the benefit of its geographical and protein diversification strategy. With underlying EBITDA of over $23 million, the division took a considerable step towards its long-run EBITDA target of $25 million. To help satisfy this demand, Shelby entered into a new third-party warehousing and processing agreement with a toll processor in Dodge City, Kansas. This brings the number of processing facilities at Shelby to 8, its own facility in Amarillo, Texas, plus 7 toll processing facilities throughout the United States. Part of the growth can be attributed to a growth in global pet food demand as a result of the increased pet ownership and adoption rates through the pandemic. However, we believe that other factors such as humanisation of pets have also contributed to the increase. Profruit volumes were also up compared to last year, with a 6% increase due to high fruit bricks, good yields and an increased retail demand. Turning to slide 24, market indications suggest that the global pet food industry will continue to grow, with one market research company suggesting it will increase at a compound annual growth rate of 6% over the period 2019 to 2029. Anecdotally, we're aware of plans for at least two new mega pet food plants to be built in the United States in 2021. Food Ingredients has a global strategy of being a key provider of pet food ingredients to a wide range of international brands, and as such, we're continuing to actively analyse and review organic and transactional opportunities to expand our geographical presence and protein offering. Travel restrictions in place during the year limited our ability to pursue acquisition opportunities, as well as limiting our ability to develop new supply and offtake relationships. On slide 25, we've summarised results for the logistics division. COVID and lockdowns provided a few challenges for logistics, with supply chains disrupted around the world, resulting in a decrease in the volumes of both ocean and air freight for the division. However, the impact of COVID was lessened by the division's focus on the essential agribusiness sector, and it reported a solid result with both underlying EBITDA and EBIT up on last year. I'll hand over to Steve to review our capital and CapEx.
Slide 27, our return on capital employed, or ROCE, parameters vary significantly between divisions dependent on their business operations. Horticulture, with its high asset base, generates a relatively low ROCE, whilst logistics is at the other end of the scale. Specific projects and operations also affect returns, with the horticulture ROCE being impacted this year by a significant CapEx spend. Returns for this division are expected to increase once redeveloped orchard reaches maturity and the impact of other margin initiatives takes effect. The group ROCE remained at its long-run target of 15% for the year. A summary of CapEx for the year is shown on slide 28. The horticulture division accounted for around 97% of total CapEx this year, with significant spend on orchard redevelopment, on the Wakatu cool store, and some additional RSV accommodation upgrades. This spend was in line with expectations. As previously mentioned, future CapEx is likely to be focused on margin-improving automation and efficiencies in the horticulture division, and the majority of our orchard redevelopment is now complete. Andy.
Moving on to governance, it was important to the board that, notwithstanding the logistical challenges presented by COVID, good governance practices should prevail throughout. As a result, you remember that we held a virtual ASM last year, the first in over 100 years of trading. And, as was the case for many businesses, Zoom meetings became the norm, with board meetings undertaken on this platform when needed. As I mentioned previously, the entire Scales team rose to all the challenges presented to them throughout the year, and personally I was proud to see how well and quickly they adapted to new situations. Moving to the outlook for 2021, the board is mindful of climatic events in recent months during key growing periods, together with the continued disruptions to global supply chains. Accordingly, directors have amended the full year 2021 guidance provided on 9 December 2020 for the Group 2 between 27.5 million and 33.5 million of underlying net profit, and between 46.5 million and 53.5 million of underlying EBITDA. This amended guidance range reflects lower levels of fruit exports in both Otago and the Tasman region, impacting the logistics and horticulture divisions respectively. Lower than forecast estimates of own grown apples for Mr. Apple, and delays and related increased port side charges and shipping. Whilst the group generated a strong result for 2020, the directors believe that the ongoing ripple effects of COVID will have a greater impact in the first half of 2021. As noted above, acceleration of automation initiatives may mean that CapEx for 2021 is higher than previously indicated, although this will ultimately depend on the timing of and cost of any initiatives that are pursued. Remaining assumptions stated in our guidance from 9 December have been reaffirmed. Within the horticulture division, we expect the lower than anticipated fruit volumes to be partially offset by higher in-market prices. The outlook for Europe and the UK is positive, with a lower New Zealand crop anticipated and early sales to Asia are encouraging. Whilst there are margin headwinds for 2021, we're of the view that the majority of these challenges and additional costs will stabilise and that margins should return to 2019 levels in 2022. That concludes today's formal presentation, although we point you towards Appendix 1 of the presentation pack, which provides additional financial information and reconciles underlying earnings to reported earnings for each of our divisions as well as the group. We're now happy to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Guy Hopper from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning everyone. Guy here. Firstly, on the large food ingredients growth, I mean, it looks to be a significant margin uplift. Can you just talk to the drivers of the margin shift and I guess just how sustainable that might be?
Yeah, look, I think the demand really did pop up with COVID. We had people pantry stocking. We had shortages coming from meatworks, and they prioritised their edible products ahead of pet food ingredients products. So it really became a bit tight, on the supply side. So that did help margin. So I think. As to the sustainability of those margins, the industry in general is just having a strong period of growth. We referenced a couple of those extra huge plants going in. I mean, that's net increase in capacity and growth to supply what is quite a buoyant pet food market, Guy. So, we don't know if it'll, that percentage margin will hold where it is, but it's certainly holding solidly at the moment. Because I guess Shelby and Meateor are very key suppliers to the big pet food companies.
Yeah, thanks. How does that flow through in terms of the raw ingredient suppliers into Meateor and Shelby? Have you had much negotiations with them around pricing? Presumably they're also seeing the demand in pet food growth and wanting to experience a lift in prices too?
Well, we do adjust prices for the purchases we make, of course, but I mean there's different dynamics within different species really, Guy. I mean certainly the lamb in New Zealand is competitively bid. Parts of the become more lamb available in Australia because some of their plants were blocked for going to China, so there was more pet, more of the product went to pet food. In America, the meat companies, the big packing companies, it's a real they're producing such big volumes that the product cannot stay on their site. So it's in a way, you're almost providing them a service moving it out.
Okay, thanks. On your horticulture division and the EBIT margins forecast for contraction next year, what kind of costs and labour assumptions are built into that? And can you maybe just step us through into the recovery into 22 as well?
Yeah, well, obviously we absorbed from 1st of April, the increase of the minimum wage, but there's the related roll on of that, because all of our staff aren't on the minimum wage, many of them are paid above that, so there's just that roll on effect, so it has to be absorbed. We've accounted for it. We've accounted for the higher cost of the MIQ hosting of over 200 of the income, the welcome, very welcomed new RSE workers this year. So we do sort of see the RSE reverting to normal in 2022. That's a critical requirement. We feel like, it isn't easy hiring the New Zealanders. I mean, there's not that many there available for the first, with the unemployment rate not really going to where the government thought it would go. So we do see the combination of reverting to the more efficient, full RSE complement, definitely some more automation, and those premium varieties, volumes we're selling at higher prices coming through, Guy.
Okay, and so, I mean, how are you with unemployment not going where previous expectations were? How are you positioned for the harvest coming up? Do you have sufficient New Zealand labour? Have you had much success in attracting them?
Well, we have sufficient total labour. I wouldn't, there was quite a number of RSEs stayed behind, so, we shared them around other industries throughout the year, and they're all back in there now harvesting for us. So the combination of them and the ones we're able to get out of the 2,000 pool, if you like, our natural share of those. And also with the huge Nelson event, the weather event, there's been a few RSEs of our friends and growers up there been able to be shared back towards us. So it's I could use the word scramble. It's going to be tight, but we have a plan in place to pick all of our fruit and pack it and export it.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks, guys. I'll let someone else ask some questions.
Thanks, Guy.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause to allow questioners to join the queue. Your next question comes from Chris Byrne from Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Morning, team. Just wondering whether you can run us through the smaller crop. Just the drivers behind that?
Well, obviously the New Zealand crop's smaller because of, Nelson and Central Otago issues. I mean, Nelson was, Central Otago was the, for Scales Logistics was the cherries, got rained, significant rainfall on them in early January, Chris. And in the Nelson area, whilst we're not a grower in Nelson, Mr. Apple and Fernridge, trade out of there. And you're probably more specifically referencing the Mr. Apple crop of its own grown crop. And we did have a little bit of weather ourselves. It wasn't a significant, something that, nothing like, it was sort of like an event that we would normally expect during the year. And we're just going to be accommodating that through our packing and normal, orchard management. But it did probably take off what would have been a very, very good crop back to, nominally below what we were initially forecasting.
Any in terms of the apple prices, you're saying you see some good pricing into early sales into Asia. You're expecting quite a big bounce back from obviously what was a weak sales period into Asia last year?
Yeah, and I think that's just related to the China crop being back in its normal, in the Northern Hemisphere crop being in its normal channels, and our crop entering, a Southern Hemisphere window, but our crop entering that window with short supply, Chris. I mean,
okay.
The varieties, particularly if you think of, Nelson predominantly had a lot of, Braeburn hit in the hail, so a short supply of Braeburn into Europe this year will bounce the price. We're just saying, hang on, there's a real shortage. To fill our programs, we'll have to, may end up shorting some of them, so we'll be encouraging them to get as much as they can by paying as much as they can.
Okay, so in terms of all of the drivers, pricing's looking better. The Hawke's Bay apple volumes is going to be down a little bit. You've got a bit more port costs. I mean, where does this particular horticulture segment, where do you see that vis-a-vis this year? Is that sort of going to be a better result than last year?
We see it, for us, it's we still think it's on budget, but I mean, because of the extra labour cost and the MIQ costs, the RSC, you know, the minimum wage costs, this year's we were budgeting slightly below, not a lot, but the last year's performance, but we still feel like that's achievable. You know, there's been some reductions. You know, obviously new news post-budget reductions and, you know, because of the climate, but again, some other initiatives and the value of that crop, I think it should be there or thereabouts.
Okay, so if that's going to be there or thereabouts, so you're expecting some sort of, I guess, normalisation in the food ingredients business then, if you're sort of looking at where your guidance range is, which is sort of the midpoints below what you achieved this year.
An adjustment, I suppose, in the apple back from the last year's performance slightly, and, you know, holding but or slight reduction for both logistics and for food ingredients, just to reflect, okay, you know, what a pop up year that, you know, was a strong year that food and ingredients won, so we're just sort of being a bit more cautious there.
Okay, sounds fair enough. That's it from me.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause as we wait for questioners to join the queue. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back for we do have a further question. Your next question comes from Jason Hamilton from ACC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Steve. Just a couple of quick ones from me. The first one, just clearly what you've described around industry volumes is perhaps quite negative. And so I'm just wondering about actually getting the product to market. So there's plenty of freight capacity. You're not too worried about some of these logistical issues you've seen at the ports. You're happy with your ability to actually get the product to market?
Yeah, look, we are, Jason, and we're just sort of getting pockets of difficulty. I mean, the LA port is particularly difficult to get in and out of at the moment, so that's causing us to move some of the Meateor product round to Houston, say. But I mean, one of the big Mars plants is right near the port in LA, so, you know, we won't be able to move it all around there because the trucking differential doesn't make sense. So it's just, I mean, the LA port's problems are like, probably make Auckland's, you know, look quite small relatively. It's those sort of things, but we don't think we're going to, you know, miss getting our crop to the market or the pet food, you know, volumes to the market at all. It's really probably just slight increase in costs, as extra demurrage charges and those sorts of things. But not a, you know, it's an issue, but, you know, manageable.
Okay. Can you give sort of some sort of sense on what CapEx might look like in 2021?
It's well down on 2020 because obviously we don't have the cool store CapEx. There is a small amount in 2021, about $2.5 million that has been spent and be reflected in 2021 compared to just over 11 in 2020, and orchard redevelopment and also the RSC accommodation is down. So we're pretty much down to sort of a maintenance CapEx level. But we have just tempered that by saying that we will be looking at automation projects. And we may come back during the year with an increase in that CapEx, but it'll be well down on 2020.
Okay, and then just strategically, clearly you've been looking for a number of acquisitions for some time. Can you just give potentially an update on that, and specifically, it's been well publicised, Villa Maria sales process. Can you comment whether you're involved in that process and what you might be interested in that business?
Yeah, well, definitely we're still looking for a new acquisition. We mentioned there that not being able to travel to the US is sort of holding us back a bit. In the New Zealand scene, we're looking at a couple of opportunities where the opposite applies, where the our competing bidders for assets, you know, haven't got the same ability to make a clean offer to bidders two vendors. So, and no, I have no comment to make on the other matter you raised.
Okay. I think viticulture might have been on that pie chart you had quite a few years ago, so I'm guessing you probably are looking. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Andy for final remarks.
Well, thanks very much for the call, and we look forward to updating you again later in the year. Appreciate your support and interest. Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.